Welcome back to In the Studio, a 21st century perspective on history's greatest rock albums.
Excuse me.
You're welcome.
Guitar up.
One,
turn
two,
that guitar
three.
Up.
I'm Redbeard, and today in the studio, it's the unwavering artistic vision and undeniable sinewy resolve of New York City man Lou Reed.
CJ!
Part of the thing I like about rock and roll is like everybody fills in a little part of themselves into it. That's why it's very limiting sometimes to ask the person, well, what did you mean by that exactly? One, because sometimes the person doesn't know, and two, he might be wrong.
Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side.
This is Lou Reed in the studio for Transformer and Rock and Roll Animal.
When we hear Bob Dylan implore us singing How Does It Feel on 1965's Like a Rolling Stone, or 30 years later, Nirvana's Kurt Cobain insisting that we come as you are, we recognize both instantly as rock and roll, yet they are really nothing alike. Over the course of rock's half century of evolution, the music has reached a crossroads, and an intrepid few key musicians have innovated with enough bold vision to lead rock down a new road into an uncertain future. Lou Reed, John Cale, and their late 60s band Velvet Underground turned out to be just such pioneers, although in the case of Lou Reed, that new road would more than likely be an alley. Lou Reed as a writer brought the boundary-busting boldness of the Beat Generation's Ginsberg and Ferlinghetti into rock and roll, while as a performer, Reed emulated Bob Dylan's substance over style approach to the pop idiom. Brian Eno, who went from playing in Roxy Music to producing landmark albums by David Bowie and U2, he's the one who famously pointed out that, and I quote, "The first Velvet Underground album only sold 10,000 copies, but everyone who bought it formed a band." When I asked him about all of this in the studio, Lou Reed was much more matter-of-fact.
Well, I just kind of like to blend in with the people I was around. You know, whatever they were into, I kind of reflected. Of course, I was always just passing through. Well, I always thought of myself as in it, you know, for like the long haul, because I wanted to write the great American novel, but I thought I would put it on a record. So these things were like chapters, but it was strange that people would want an album sort of like the last one or whatever that was, or to be this consistent, certain, particular thing. Whereas I thought of myself as just kind of blending in and then passing on to something else and blending in or not blending in and just going on from there, or else I get really bored.
Standing on the corner, suitcase in my hand, Jackson's corset, Jane is in her vest, and me, I'm in a rock and roll band. Riding a Studs back at Jim. You know, those were different times. All the poets, they studied rules of verse, and those ladies, they rolled their eyes. CJ! I'm the Jack, he is the banker, and Jane, she is a clerk, and both of them save their monies, and when they come home from work, ooh, sitting down by the fire, the radio does play the classical music, their jam, the march of the wooden soldiers. All your protest kids, you can hear Jack say, get ready, CJ.
know that women never really faint, and that villains always blink their eyes. Ooh. And that, you know, children are the only ones who blush, and that life is just to die.
Velvet Underground's original of Lou Reed's Sweet Jane had a loping, simple but infectious chord progression under a Dylan-esque talk-sung vocal by Reed, famous or notorious for his incisive, unfiltered, blunt observations on the human condition. I was amused to find that early on, Lou Reed had succumbed to the publicist myth-making in the grand tradition of 20th century record business.
In the past, I've been known to lie. I can't. Now enough time has gone by, sometimes when I read my own bios, I can't tell where I was lying and where I wasn't anymore. I used to say that, after I got my BA, I went for an MA in music and theory at Harvard. That haunted me for a while. I don't even know if they have a music but I did take, courses in opera and music and theory. After I graduated, I got a job as a hack writer at a budget record company. One of the things I put together they thought was commercial. They tried to find a lot of people with long hair to be this group, and that's how I met John Cale and we formed the Velvet Underground.
Possibly the very first of those supposed 10,000 Velvet Underground fans was a young London, England lad, David Jones, who fatefully intercepted the Andy Warhol-produced project, which inspired the budding artist and musician to morph into David Bowie.
I think that the person that I was listening to out of America as much as Little Richard by that time would have been Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground. They were incredibly important to me. I was lucky to get to hear them very early on. I got to hear them before the Americans did. A friend of mine brought back from America, he knew Warhol, and he paid a trip over to New York. And Warhol gave him an acetate of this band that he'd just sort of been involved with and said, see what you can do with this for British, see if you can get this a release in England on some label. And the guy came back and said, listen, I found this really crappy piece of work that Warhol gave me. It's all noise, there's no songs on it. And like a fool, he gave it to me and I got a whole new lease on life. I thought, this is really cool. I want to sound like this, but English. That became part of my major influences at that time.
Many of the characters and situations that Lou Reed observes and etched into his lyrics populated the Velvet Underground songs, as well as Reed's first solo album after the Velvets broke up. When I characterize these urban refugees from a blighted big city battleground, when I characterize them as seamy, Lou Reed became indignant. And quite rightly admonished me.
I wouldn't call it seamy. I would call it human. I don't think that different situations of human behavior should be degraded by being called seamy. We're talking about people and the problems they run into in real life and the real world. And if you're talking about the real life and the real world, I don't think it's fair to call it seamy. I think that puts a moral judgment to it that I really object to. It's that kind of attitude that ends up being, well, people who have AIDS deserve to die, and the drug addicts deserve to die. And that's the kind of attitude I really don't like. So that's why I object to things being called seamy. I'd rather call it people.
We'll be right back.
Lou Reed's Vicious from his 1972 second solo album Transformer reportedly was inspired by legendary New York City pop artist and impresario Andy Warhol, who gave Lou Reed that opening line.
I like to write some things in the first person, and you should really believe it. You know, it's like if the song's really done well, you'll really believe it's true. And I always wanted to do that on all my records. Make sure you thought it was true. And I've certainly been around the block enough times, so if I say it's true, you better believe it.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doo 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 doo. Once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that patch. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doot doo 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 doo.
I mean, people always, you know, the cult of personality, they always want to know, oh, is this true, is that true, and everything like that. And it really doesn't matter if it's true. Of course, if it makes them enjoy the record more, you could just say, oh, yeah, sure, it's true.
One of music history's truly unique alternative hits to find itself in the American Top 20, Walk on the Wild Side and the other songs on Lou Reed's Transformer album were produced by David Bowie. You'll find out how next. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear all of your favorite rockers interviewed at inthestudio.net.
This is Lou Reed in the studio for Transformer and Rock and Roll Animal.
And I'm Redbeard on Transformers' 40th anniversary. By fall 1972, a new English rock phenomenon had exploded, dubbed glam rock, spearheaded by the late Mark Bolan's T-Rex and by Velvet Underground uber fan David Bowie, whose alter ego Ziggy Stardust was making headlines in rock magazines on both sides of the Atlantic. So how did David Bowie and his band leader arranger Mick Ronson end up producing Lou Reed's second solo album, Transformer?
Oh, it was somebody at the record company's idea. And so I said, yeah, why not? He was just a new English guy who was very popular, and they said he liked me and that it might be good for him to work with me on my next album, since my first solo album had done absolutely nothing. Following in the grand tradition of the Velvet Underground albums.
Satellites gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of. Satellite's gone way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with park and cars. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of. I've been told that you've been bold with Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday through Thursday, with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of.
Satellites gone way up to Mars. Seems inspired by headlines right off today's front page or home page instead of actually 1972. According to veteran producer recording engineer Ken Scott's book From Abbey Road to Ziggy Stardust, David Bowie and Mick Ronson convinced the veteran Scott to assist them in recording Lou Reed's Transformer, as well as assembling a crack live band to back him up.
I would think Mick Ronson and David Bowie had a lot to do with it. I didn't play guitar on Transformer or Rock and Roll Animal. So when I don't play guitar, my interest isn't as intense I didn't play guitar in Berlin either, because I need certain kind of people to play with, and if I can't play with that certain kind of people, then I'd rather just have other people play kind of their normal music, you know, like straight music. So when you do that, you can bring in tubas and you can bring in strings and stuff like that.
But the scenes on Transformer, from the mean streets, back alleys, and Bowery, all come from the unblinking eye, heart, and soul of Lou Reed, resulting in Rolling Stone magazine ranking Transformer in the top 200 albums of all time.
The real point is you're just talking about writing. That's what I studied in college. I'm supposed to be good at it. They gave me a degree in it. I'm supposed to know how to put words together. At the very least, I should have come out of school knowing how to do that. But on the other hand, writing dialogue is not something you can really learn. I mean, there is talent involved in it. I mean, you can only learn so much. But of course, when you practice, I'm one of these people who really believes if you practice something, you get better at it. And if you really want to know what hard work is, it's when it's not happening and you finally have to just... I mean, I've come to grips with that when it's not happening. You know, when it's not happening, I just stop and forget about it. I mean, that's how I've come to really appreciate it. Because when it's not happening, you might as well just... You know, it's like as though I decided I would build a house by myself. You know, I don't know how to do that. And when it's not happening, I can't write either.
Thank you. closet. Jesus, in a vest. Me, honey, on rock and roll, babe. Riding in a Dodge big engine. Those were different times. They studied rules of dress and ladies. They ruled their eyes.
Guitars of Steve Hunter and Dick Wagner propelled Lou Reed's December 1973 performance at New York City's Academy of Music, which was released in early 1974 as Rock and Roll Animal. Still to come, Lou Reed reveals a creative recording method more spontaneous than deliberate. You can follow In the Studio on Facebook and never miss an update on all of your rock favorites at inthestudio.net.
Welcome back. Isn't there a better way of saying that? I would never say welcome back. I got it. This is Lou Reed, and I'm back with Redbeard for Transformer and Rock and Roll Animal.
And I'm Redbeard, and there's a perfect example of Lou Reed's inimitable style, not mannered, not deliberate, just real.
I mean, my vocals are all first take, usually. I don't like to do them out of sequence. I believe there's an interior logic to them. My records are based, and my songs are based on an emotion. The thing I'm interested in is the listener getting the emotion from it, and I use myself as the audience. and I get the emotion from the track. But if I stay in the studio too long trying to make it better, I can only respond emotionally to it for so long, and then after a while I just don't respond anymore, and that's when I can lose sight of the track. So that's why I can't record for a long period of time. That's why I can't spend too much time in the studio making a record. It's got to be done pretty quickly.
I don't know just where I'm going. But I'm going to try for the kingdom if I can. 'Cause it makes me feel like I'm a man when I put a spike into my vein. Then I tell you things aren't quite the same. Just like Jesus' son. And I guess I just don't know. And I guess that I just don't know. To try to nullify my life, 'cause when the blood begins to flow, when it shoots up the trapper's neck, when I'm closing in on death.
Most of that material had been recorded anywhere from 4 to 6 years earlier. I always thought my albums, by the time they came out, were pretty well behind where I was at. A situation which has kept up essentially till this New York album. The New York album, oddly enough, did not come out being behind where I'm at. The New York album came out being exactly where I'm at. But it was kind of interesting to like to see it through other people's eyes, which is essentially what Transformer is. Maybe that's why I call it a Transformer. But rock and roll animal, as you can well imagine, was 6 years behind where I was at. You know, and Transformer was, you know, kind of like really straight arrangements of things, and wasn't really where I was at other than where the songs were at.
I wish that I was born 1,000 years ago. I'd sailed the darkened seas on a great big clipper ship, going from this land here to that. I'd put on a sailor's suit and cap.
Thank you.
quite the definitive version of Lou Reed's Velvet Underground era song Heroin. It's included on the Live Rock and Roll Animal album. I learned so much from interviewing Lou Reed, which I have since incorporated into every interview I've ever done. One of the most profound, insightful admissions I've ever heard about the creative process, regardless of the art form, came from Lou Reed.
I figure out what the songs are about after the record's out, and people keep asking me what they're about or telling me what they're about. And sometimes they tell me things that they're about that I hadn't realized they're about until I think of it. And then I realize they probably know what the record's about better than I do. Part of the thing I like about rock and roll is like everybody fills in a little part of themselves into it. That's why it's very limiting sometimes to ask the person, well, what did you mean by that exactly? One, because sometimes the person doesn't know. And two, he might be wrong.
Pedro lives out of the Wilshire Hotel. He looks out a window without glass. The walls are made of cardboard. Newspapers on his feet, and his father beats him because he's too tired to beg. He's got 9 brothers and sisters. They're brought up on their knees. It's hard to run when a coat hanger beats you on the thighs. Pedro dreams of being older and killing the old man, but that's a slim chance. He's going to the boulevard. He's gonna end up on the dirty boulevard. He's going out to the dirty boulevard. He's going down to the dirty boulevard. This room costs $2,000 a month. You can believe it, man, it's true. Somewhere a landlord's laughing till he wets his pants. No one dreams of being a doctor or a lawyer or anything. They dream of dealing on the dirty boulevard. Give me your hungry, you're tired, you're poor, I'll piss on them. That's what the statue of bigotry says. Your poor huddled masses, let's club them to death and get it over with and just dump them on the boulevard. Get them out on the dirty boulevard. Going out to the dirty boulevard. They're going down on the dirty boulevard. Going out. It's a bright night. There's an opera at Lincoln Center. Movie stars arrive by limousine. The Klieg lights shoot up over the skyline of Manhattan, but the lights are out on the mean streets. A small kid stands by the Lincoln Tunnel. He's selling plastic roses for a buck. The traffic's backed up to 39th Street. The TV whores are calling the cops out for a suck. And back at the wheelchair, Pedro sits there dreaming. He's found a book on magic in a garbage can. He looks at the pictures and stares up at the cracked ceiling. At the count of three, he says, I hope I can disappear and fly, fly away from this dirty boulevard. I want to fly, yeah. From the dirty boulevard, I want to fly. From the dirty boulevard, I want to fly, 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 fly. From the dirty boulevard, I wanna fly away. I wanna fly. Fly, fly away, yeah. I wanna fly. Fly, fly away.
Fly, fly.
This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking greatly my guest, Lou Reed. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2012, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, and for this and many more interviews and live performances by the biggest names in rock music, visit inthestudio.net.